It has come. Receive it and rejoice. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. I heard these words. If you will rejoice in me, if you will learn to have joy, if you will learn the walk of love, if you will learn and do what I tell you to do in your prayer time and in your nighttime hours, the divorce will not take place. I heard that. I'm talking to somebody. Amen. Oh, but Lord, Brother Copeland, you just don't understand. You just don't understand. Oh, yes, I do understand. Whole lot more than you have any idea. I do understand. I don't understand how ugly your husband is. I don't understand how terrible your wife is. But I understand how lovely and good God is. And I understand that love never fails. Hallelujah. Amen. Now you can be like Peter and say, oh, that could never happen. Leave all the nets in the boat and just let consequences run its course. And you don't even want to be there at the outcome of it. But if you'll listen to the Lord, if you'll insist on walking in the love commandment, if you will insist on living by faith, if you will insist on inquiring of the Lord and carrying out His commands, for those who insist on living in love, living by faith, and walking out and being obedient to the command of God, everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Whoa, glory to God. Say it. Everything's going to be all right. Amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. Oh, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I heard the testimony of a woman that had gone to heaven and was there for a period of time, and the Lord raised her up and she came back. And she had a testimony to tell. And some of the things she said were just glorious. I mean, she said that the people gathered around her and were showing her, her brother-in-law was there, and he was showing her things about the home he was preparing for her sister. And he said, I'm so glad you're here. You can help me decorate this. And she was just amazed at the likeness of life on the earth to life in heaven, particularly those of us that live this life as full as we can possibly follow Jesus and live it. It's not that heaven's like us. It's that we were created like heaven. We belong there. Amen. But actually, heaven belongs on the earth.
Yes.
That's God's plan in the first place, and you see it carried out. He's going to move the whole heavenly city. Did you ever hear of somebody moving and taking the whole city with him? Well, God's going to bring the whole heavenly Jerusalem to the earth just in order to hang around you and me. Now, that's just an awesome thought in itself. Amen. But she said, my goodness, those people like to have meetings. And I thought, yeah, I can understand that. We've had some pretty good ones. But they're bound to be better in heaven than anything we've ever had here. And I've seen a lot of good stuff over the last 45 years. And started out in Oral Roberts' healing and miracle campaign. And I saw things while I was in that ministry. I mean, your hair just stick right straight out and take 2 or 3 days to get it combed back down. I mean, literally, just shake you to your core, you know. She said the whole group of them came by and said, come on, we're having a meeting. We got to go. Let's go now. So she said we went in this gorgeous, beautiful auditorium. She said it was absolutely the most stunning thing she had ever seen in her life. And she was just, you know, just almost staggering under the magnitude and the beauty of it all. But she said, you know, the meetings were meetings. And she said, the only thing of it was, they started out where we tried to get when we were having meetings on the earth. They started out in the glory. And she said, I'm just amazed. They were singing the same songs we were raised on. She said, they had some new ones I never had heard before. But she said, I knew most of them. She said, I'm just singing and having a wonderful time and glorifying God. And she said, here came the most beautiful, the most gorgeous, the most decked out robed choir I had ever seen. I could never have even imagined such beautiful, gorgeous robes. And they came in just a multitude in that choir. But she said, when we started singing, she said, they absolutely kicked and praised their way out of those robes. She said, the robes just couldn't take it. And we were praising God, she said, and all this wonderful things. But she said, right in the middle of this praise and worship, singing songs about Jesus, she said, can you imagine it? He walked through the curtain in the back of the stage. Here comes Jesus right in the middle of the praise and worship service. Well, she said, when he walked out there, you can imagine what happened. The place just went just over the top. And she said the roof suddenly came off of the building. She said, I realized for the first time that the roof of this gorgeous, beautiful place where we were having this meeting was made up of folded angels' wings. And when Jesus walked in, the angels just went wild. And when they did, the roof left. The roof is flying around the building. Oh, folks, it ain't going to be long. There's a change coming. Woo, glory to God. It's not going to be long. We're going to be out of here. Woo, glory, 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 glory. Amen. And between now and then, it's going to get more like it all the time. Heaven, body of Christ, and earth's body of Christ are getting closer and closer and closer and closer. Yes, amen. And you and I, we are privileged to be here at this time. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We are so blessed. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. We praise you and thank you. We open our hearts. We open our minds to receive revelation from heaven tonight. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bibles once again this evening to the book of Deuteronomy, to the scripture that we read last night from chapter 30. Now remember, the 28th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy is the first half of that chapter, well, not quite half of it, the first 14 verses of Deuteronomy chapter 28 is a reference to the blessing of Abraham broken down in individual manifestations of that blessing in life. These are the things that Abraham covenanted with God. God said, I will be a God to you. Amen. And Abram said, yes, and entered into a covenant of blood with God for the blessing that originally belonged to Adam. Amen. And here is a man that God chose, not because he's smarter than somebody else. God don't need you to be all that smart. He's smart. Amen. He's already smart. He already knows everything. Like one preacher said one time, he was lying on the floor crying out to God just as hard and fast as he could, and suddenly he stopped and said, here lies a fool that knows nothing doing all the talking to somebody that knows everything. He said, maybe I ought to just hush and just listen here a little while. Good choice. Yeah. Amen. The Apostle Paul got born again on the word Lord. Amen. Didn't take long, did it? That's all Jesus was looking for. And from that moment on, Jesus never brought up his sin and persecution of the church again. Now, he did, but Jesus never even responded to him when he said that to him. Amen. So what I'm saying to you and what God is saying to us, it's time to begin listening so that we hear net or nets. Amen. Amen. Understand?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now then, here's all of these blessings that represent the blessing of Abraham. And then you move into the curse, which is on this earth because of sin. But the scripture said Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Now listen, this is talking about the reason he went to the cross. Amen. I mean, this is very exact and very definitive. Galatians 3:8 says, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached the gospel to Abraham saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. That's the gospel. And then in the 13th verse, it goes ahead to say, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, so that, now we know what the gospel is. It's the promise of the reinstatement of the blessing. to the rest of Noah's family who represent us all. Shem stayed with it. Ham and Japheth did the same thing Adam did. Well, you're either kin to Ham, you're kin to Japheth, you're kin to Shem. Yeah, you kin to one of them. And you may be like me and kin to all three of them. But Ham and Japheth separated themselves from the blessing and began trying to meet their own needs without God. That's where the curse developed in the Babylonian system of social supply. Everything from social justice, not the justice of God, social justice, society, socialism. All isms are social. Amen. And all of them, every form of government on earth that tries to meet its own needs without God is a social government. And it does not work. It is Babylon because men can't meet their own needs. Somebody's going to run out. You cannot supply by stealing from somebody else. That's no answer. Amen. You see, we got a problem here with this. The first war ever started over this right here. Nimrod was king. He's the one that, the first one to subject people to him and then set himself up to tell all of them what to do and create this Babylonian system. So it's very simple. The three of us don't have anything. Aha. But there's a man that does. So the three of us get together. And we go take away from him everything he has. Amen. Now, there's four of us that are going to have to live off of what one had. Of course, the one, since he was rich, well, he's the dog, you know, so he's last and he only gets a little bit. But in a little while, the three of us are going to consume, along with him getting a little bit, what we got off of him. Now we've got four of us broke. So we're going to go after him. So now here all four of us go and jump on him. And we get everything he has. And now there's five of us. See, because since there's no God, there's no increase. See, faith activates the blessing. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if I'm not inquiring of the Lord, I'm not listening to him, then I have no faith. If I have no faith, I have no God. I may have a religion, but I have no God. A religion denying the power thereof, the scripture says you better get out of there. So now what do we got? We got five hungry people. Amen. Two guys used to be rich, now they're broke than anybody. And they're still mad about it. But now it doesn't take us long because there's no increase. We're going to all run out. Ah. Now all of us have got our eye on these two over here. Ah. And here we come. And now we hungry and we mad. See, hungry is a Southern American word that's worse than hungry. We hungry. We're going to eventually run into somebody that don't like this. And they don't like us. And they have decided, you ain't getting mine. They've been over here watching all of this now long enough to build an army. And we fixing to have a fight. Ta-da! Looks like in 6,000 years they'd have figured that out by now. They could if they'd just go buy them a Bible. But no, they have to write a manifesto. We got two manifestos. One manifesto written by the folks that's
mad at the rich man and the rich man's manifesto on how to kill them poor folks. When a Bible would have cured the whole thing. For it is God. It is God that giveth the increase. Amen. Hallelujah. And people got a hold of the Bible and just tried every way they could to make it say that God wanted all of his people poor. And then turned right around and said to help the poor. How can you help the poor when you're poor? Because poverty came out of the curse. There was no poverty in the Garden of Eden. And there's no poverty in the blessing of Abraham. No, poverty comes from not knowing how to live in the supply of God under the blessing of the Lord, that Jesus went to that cross and bore that curse in order for us to receive his life-giving blood. Amen. Amen. Can you rejoice over that and say amen? Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen. See, that's the answer to all of this. Now, had somebody come in there and said, let me tell you something, brother. Hey, you don't need to be poor, man. Let me show you something out of the scripture here. And he, glory to God. Amen. And then the word of the Lord comes to me and says, help him. Sow into him. So I sow into him. And then I teach him how to sow. And he begins to sow. And he goes over here to his other two partners. He said, I got to show you guys something. We don't need to be poor no more. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And he starts sowing into them. Yeah. Praise God. And here we go. The next thing you know, we have a prosperous nation. And then you find people from all over the world doing everything they can to get in that nation. It's not because the nation's rich. You're not blessed because you're rich. You're rich because you're blessed. Hallelujah. Glory. Now you have at least the basic fundamentals of what God has always had on his mind and in his will. And Jesus went to the cross to settle it forever. Amen. Now then, Deuteronomy, are you there? Let's read this 19th and 20th verses, 30th chapter. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have already set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life. See, he's already made his choice. And I've had people say to me, well, Brother Copeland, now I just don't believe it's God's will for everybody to be blessed like that. Well, what's so special about you? Huh? That God don't want to bless you. That's condemnation. And it's fear-based and it's fear-dependent. Amen. I have set before you. You choose life that both you and your seed may live. That you may love the Lord your God. And that you may obey his voice. And that you may cleave unto him. For he is your life. He is the length of your days. That you may dwell in the land. What land? The land of milk and honey. Hallelujah. The blessing in the New Testament, it is the kingdom of God. Now, hold your place right there because we're coming immediately back to this and go to the New Testament, to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Amen. That you may dwell in the land that God promised to Abraham. Now, Colossians chapter 1, look with me in the 12th verse. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. M-E-E-T. Right above that word, write the English word able. A-B-L-E. He has made us able. How? When we got born again. The very might of God. See up there in the 11th verse? Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. He has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. Now don't let the word saints throw you. There are different religious ideas about the word saints, but it is an English translation just of the simple phrase separated. The separated ones. What happened? Well, we're about to see what that separation is. Now follow this. Who, verse 13, who hath, H-A-T-H, who has already delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Amen. Now that doesn't happen after you die. That happened when you got born again. Amen. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Amen. The moment you were born again, the Spirit of God ministered Zoe life, eternal life, the life of God to your spirit being and recreated you, the scripture says, to a species of being that had not existed before that moment. You're not just an old sinner saved by grace. You're not just a forgiven person. No, no, no. You're not the same person at all. Any man that is in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Life. Life has come. Glory. Say it. Life.
Life.
The life of God is in me now. Look at it again. This separation is vitally important. It must, our minds must be renewed where it is ever present all the time in the way we think and the way we look at the world and the way we look at heaven. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power. The Greek word is authority. When you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you were born again. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which is alive. There's that word again. Life. 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 I have come that they have life and have it more abundantly. Choose life. He has delivered us from the authority of darkness and has translated. What does it mean to translate? To take out of one and put into another. If you translate one language into another, you take a message out of one language and put it over in the other. You follow? We were translated. This happened the moment you made Jesus the Lord of your life. It doesn't happen after you die and go to heaven. Because if this hasn't happened when you die, you ain't going to heaven. So just settle it. And if you don't know Jesus, hey, you can do that in 30 seconds. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart quick. I want to hear the rest of the message. And you can do all your praying and running and shouting, you know, after the service is over with, because you'll finally understand what was preached. That happens to you when you get born again, see? Translated, delivered from the authority of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. The kingdom of God is not a place. The kingdom of God is a form of government. And you can live under that form of government anywhere on earth. Because Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. Praise God. You can live under blessing rules, and God will bless you anywhere on the face of this earth. Amen. Somebody said, you come over here just preaching that American gospel. No, no. Jesus wasn't born in America. Amen. It's not an American gospel. But there's a bunch of us in America that are living on it. I can tell you that right now. And there's a bunch right here that are living on it. And there are many of you and many of us living under the kingdom of God form of government. Amen. And the blessing is functioning in our lives, and other people can't figure out why. Amen. You should have been there. If only you had been privileged to read some of our mail when we first began television in the former USSR. Oh, well, actually, we were on television there before the Soviet Union fell. And it is amazing, absolutely amazing, because here is a people that never had heard the blessing at all. Nothing. And when they heard it, they just believed it. You should have seen the miracle things that happened. They didn't argue in their minds. Jesus said nets. They went and got the nets. Amen. They just did whatever somebody said the book said. It was amazing. I was talking about, on one particular broadcast, I was using the illustration of how God directed Gloria and me to use our faith to receive an airplane into this ministry, because it was growing, it was expanding, and here, you know, I came out of the aviation industry, so it was, and I had learned from Brother Roberts how to use an airplane in the ministry by flying for him. So we were believing God, and I went through the process of the word and so forth. I got a letter back. Now, you have to understand, see, I preached that to people like you, and I actually preached it in the United States, and the Russian overvoice was saying these things. I received this letter. This woman said, Brother Copeland, first of all, I don't know what I would do with an airplane. See, I just used the airplane as an illustration. I could have used the house or anything else. We got everything we have, we got by faith. But I was instructed by the Lord to talk about this. One of the main reasons why is because at that time, most people didn't have any idea that God even knew airplanes fly. Much less preachers. They wouldn't even agree to a new car. And so that illustration was strong for that reason. She said, I don't know what I would do with an airplane. I really don't have anywhere to go. If I had it, I don't know where I would keep it. I don't have anybody that could drive it. But if you think I should, receive one, write and let me know. I'll believe. I'm not going anywhere. I have no place to keep it. I have nobody to drive it. But if you think I need it, if God wants me to have an airplane, write me and let me know, brother. We'll get this thing done. I mean, miracles that staggered government officials because things were happening. They could not understand why these people were doing this. But they would just happen. Well, they didn't just happen. Somebody used faith like Abraham and released Abraham's blessing. And that blessing don't care where you are. And it cares little to nothing about who the government is. When a child of God is living under God's government, I want you to know that government's power goes into operation. And it's all inside you right this very moment. All of heaven's glory. All of the power of God. God himself is on the inside of you right now. The blessing of Abraham is on the inside of you right now. And all of the creation is yearning and travailing for a manifestation of the sons of God. Why? Because it's the sons of God that not only reside in the answer resides in us. And if we'll learn to walk by faith and stretch that faith and obey God, even when it looks like you can't do it, amen. You just say, yes, sir. And that's when it releases and goes to work. Amen. Oh, people, our time has come. Our time has come. Now, we learned last night and this morning that to choose life, to choose blessing, you must choose words. If you don't choose words of life and words of blessing, then words will be chosen for you, and they are words of death and words of curse. Amen. It's amazing to me, when particularly when you begin to live, you know, under the command of the blessing and operate in that life, and you're out there in the world and you're hearing people and you're seeing them and you're watching and hearing what they say. It's amazing. You can go, I can stand out on the corner. I don't even have to be a prophet to do this. You can stand on the corner for about an hour. You can prophesy to everybody that walks by there if you hear what they say. Because they'll tell you what's coming. Yeah, they'll tell you what's coming in their life. Because what you have today is what you said yesterday. You'll know that for a fact by the end of this service. Amen. And, you know, now think about that. Get the picture. Here is somebody. Now, I'm not talking about any specific person, so I'm not singling you out. But it's my job when your toes are sticking out there to step on them. Amen. You got your unbelieving toes sticking out there. Somewhere down the line, I'm going to step on one of them. So don't get mad at me. Just praise God. You got to love me. Amen. All right. Can you imagine this now? I'm losing my hair. 24 hours later, I'm losing my hair. You go to the doctor. Can you tell me why I'm losing my hair? He can give you some He can give you some excuses about why you're losing your hair. You know why you're losing your hair? You're saying you're losing your hair. Now, after a few days, it becomes, damn, I'm going bald. Then a few weeks later, damn, I'm already bald. See, the devil's got you by the mouth. Then he puts this guilt trip on you, and you think everybody in town is laughing at your skinny head. So now, grief, because you have lost something, the spirit of grief can begin to move around you and begin to put you in a state of depression, because depression is grieving over loss. There are people in deep depression that ain't never lost anything yet, but they're already grieving over it. Oh yeah, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I don't ever get anything. They always get healed. I always have to go to the doctor. I just don't understand it. I'm just as good a Christian as they are. No, you're not. You just told me. Amen. You understand what I'm saying here?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if the devil can get grief from loss in your mouth and you begin to talk loss, he will systematically steal the word out of you one step at a time until you have been reduced through strife back to the level you were spiritually before you were born again. Read it in 1 Corinthians. Read it. The Apostle Paul said, because of the spirit of division, you are no longer teachable. And you are as mere unchanged men. Can think about that. The most anointed teacher on the planet was in their church, and they couldn't hear what he was saying. Why? He couldn't get it out. He said, there are many things that I would tell you. I've been in places, I've preached in places where I couldn't get the message out. I knew what I was supposed to preach, but I was too young to know anything. And that's what the people said. That young whippersnapper ain't going to come down here from Texas and go to telling us what we believe and what we don't. Nah, 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 nah. And I don't care. I had it in my heart, and God had put it there for them. But just, I couldn't get anything out that would do much. And so our meetings had to go 3 and 4 weeks long to preach that unbelief out of there for about 2.5 weeks and then have a 3-day meeting. Oh, yeah. This was the whole first 2 or 3 years of this ministry, because there was so much religion instead of living words. Now, we're talking about choosing life. Are you still with me? Okay. Now, let's go back then. And look again, that you may love the Lord your God. Choose life. Choose blessing, that you and your seed may live. He's talking about a way of life that will come on your entire family. Amen. Not just a blessing here and there when trouble comes and that kind of thing. No, 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 no. Do you remember what the case was between Satan and God over Job? Do you remember what Satan was so hacked about when he came before God and he said, "Does he serve you for nothing? You have built a wall about him. You have blessed him, and you have blessed all that he has." The New Living Translation says, "Look how rich you have made him." That was it. The money. Without money, Satan just loses the most part of his power. And Job was the richest man in the East. There's where Satan had no influence, where Job was rich, because Job's influence was over the land. For God, the whole generation was blessed because of it. Amen. Now, choose life. Say that out loud. Choose life. Let's look in Malachi chapter 3. Turn to Matthew and turn left one page. Malachi chapter 3. Notice what God said in verse 11. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed. For you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now look at the very next verse. Your words have been stout against me. They had said, we're not blessed. Even the heathen, they said, more blessed than we are. God said, I will pour you out blessing you don't have room to contain. But they weren't saying that. They were saying just the opposite. And God said to them, your words are stout against me. Now, this is very important information. It does matter what you say. It matters to heaven. And that's where it counts. Not what your kinfolks think about it. Amen. It's what God thinks about it. That's what matters the most in your and my life. Because whatever we say, we activate. Now, let's follow this. Turn back to the book of Matthew. Into the 12th chapter. We read this last night. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good, and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt, and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say unto you, now you notice these words are red. Amen. Remember, red words win. This is the truth. Whether you like the way it sounds or not, this is the truth. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words thou shalt be justified, and by your words shall you be condemned. Oh my. Now, make the tree good, then the fruit is good. Now, are you locked in with me on that? Now, Jesus said, make the tree good and the fruit will be good. Now, go with me then to the book of Proverbs, chapter 15.
Proverbs 15. And let's look at the fourth verse. Now put your eyes on this. Let it mark your thinking. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Aha! Make the tree good, and it produces good fruit. Make the tree bad, and it produces bad fruit. You choose life by choosing the words of life. We read it last night. Jesus said, "My words are spirit, and they are life." Amen. 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 All right, go with me to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Whoa. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Now look at this. Suddenly, we're dealing with spiritual laws here. Amen. Laws are absolutes that work for anybody, anytime that put that law into effect. The law of gravity is the law of gravity. It works all races, for all men, for all time. Amen. And until somebody put into force a higher law, men were bound to the ground. But there is a higher law, a higher physical law called the law of lift. Birds have used it ever since the Garden of Eden. Men were a long time getting there. You put in force the law of lift, and an airplane flies using that law. We did not do away with the law of gravity, but a higher law superseded the law of gravity, and it flies. Amen. This is applied science. And as it is applied correctly, those laws function. It'll function for anybody that'll get in the airplane. Amen? Now, we didn't do away with the law of gravity. We can prove that. Shut the engines down. The airplane doesn't just roll over and fall out of the sky. It's still flying. But it's losing part of the element of the law of lift, which is the law of thrust that overcomes drag that caused you to fly in the first place. So now, to get the thrust, you have to keep tucking the nose down to keep the speed up and keep the thing flying. Eventually, you're going to come to the ground. When you do, you land the thing. Amen. Now, you ready for this? Oh, Lord God, help us, because we're about to read a bombshell here, praise God. Verse 2, Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. Where is the law of life? It's in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life. How do you choose and operate the law of the Spirit of life? Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." Choose His words. Put them in your heart. Put them in your mouth. Speak them. Make yourself available. Lord, I am yours to command. I will speak your words anytime, anywhere, day or night, anytime you have the desire to use me to release life in this earth. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And the law of sin and death is where the law of poverty resides. Did you ever wonder why you can put so much money into poverty and nobody ever change? It's not a financial problem. It's a spiritual problem. It's part of the curse. People are talking it. We're just poor folks. Don't call me poor boy. I won't answer. I used to would. Not anymore. I found out I was rich before I had any money at all. I found it in Galatians chapter 3. I'd been given the blessing of Abraham. I went back there and checked out what God did for Abraham. Son, wow. Said Abraham was very rich in silver and gold and cattle. Well, if you got cattle, you got to have land. Glory to God. Yeah. I didn't even have a decent car. Living in a shotgun house. Amen. I ain't got time to explain shotgun house to you. Get the morning CD. I explained it this morning. Well, all right. That is a Southern United States expression. A shotgun house is a house, little long skinny house, that you can stand in the front door and shoot a shotgun out the back door and never hit the house. Because all of the rooms are on one side of one straight hall. That's the kind of place. Well, it wasn't quite that bad. Yeah, it was too. We moved in there and Gloria didn't unpack for 2 weeks. She just absolutely wasn't going to live in that. Well, God had instructed me to go to Oral Roberts University. And I'm already late in getting there. I said no for 3 years. And finally woke up that I was my own worst enemy. Amen. But he had a plan for me. And when I got there, I began to learn these things. Dear Lord, the old car we had, I mean, whoa, horrible. Just horrible. Amen. And I came in there. I got a hold of the word in Galatians 3. I got so excited, I could hardly talk. I couldn't hardly talk about it. I just finally wound up just shouting in tongues. I was so excited, and I ran in there to Gloria. One day, I said, look at this, girl. We are rich now. We're rich now. This thing is only a matter of time. Abraham did it by faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I ain't going to be broke no more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I will be able to preach this gospel. I will be able to take it to the world. I will preach it all from the top to the bottom and all the way around the middle. Can you see what happened? I got so excited, I got it in my mouth. I listened to it night and day. I read it night and day. I didn't have time to read anything else. We turned the TV off. I was too busy in this word finding out my inheritance. Wow, I'm a joint heir with somebody extremely wealthy. Whoa, yeah, and he's made me able to receive my inheritance. Glory to God. And it was night and day with us. Well, man, there was a couple that they were completely financially just wiped out, and they came over to stay with us for a few days. I couldn't imagine anybody so broke and so poor they came over to stay in that house with us. But they did. Anyway, and first thing they did is turn the TV on. Well, that television set had broken a couple of years before, and it was a set about this big and about this tall, and something happened to it, and the picture went down to about that tall. It went all the way across the screen, and it's about 2 inches tall. Well, there wasn't any way we're going to go have it fixed. First place, by this time, I didn't want to have it fixed. And I didn't have the money to fix it anyway. Didn't care. Amen. I came home from school one afternoon, and here's a guy so broke, he's coming living in my shotgun house. He takes that TV out and gets it fixed. Well, now you can see where his attention is. I ain't got time for that. And when I walked in the living room, there he sat watching a fixed TV. You would think I would have said, "Oh my goodness, did you have it fixed? Oh, gracious, thank you so much. We got so tired watching that 2-inch-tall picture." It didn't strike me like that. I walked in the door, and there that thing's blaring. I just walked through the door. I said, "Who fixed that? Shut up!" Before I got all the way through the room, the picture went whoop! It went back to 2 inches, and it never, ever got fixed again. Hallelujah. Praise God. I tell you the truth, I was shocked that my words had that kind of power. But see, my words are carriers of whatever is on the inside of you. Isn't that what we just read in the book? Make the tree good, the fruit's good. The word begins to build. Faith begins to build. Perfected love casts out fear. You get to the place, you're going to say what the word of God says, and you don't care who hears it. Let them get mad. They'll be back. Wanting money. Later. Just give it a little time. Amen. Now, they'll start talking nice to your face, at least, after a while. All of that stuff don't mean anything. They can talk bad about you all they want to. It doesn't have any effect on you until you agree with them. Now, if you agree with them by fussing and fighting about it, you're gone now. Now you got to repent, and you should. Repent, and God will do just like he did Peter. He'll give you grace and he'll forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness and get you right back in the book where you belong. Exactly. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to notice this. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. Death. I place before you life and death. Therefore, you choose life. So we're talking about here the tree of life. What you pick off that tree is what you're going to have to eat. So stop sowing words that license the law of sin and death in your life. You'll create the fear of sickness and disease. You'll create, and all of these things. Faith is a spiritual force that the Word of God releases and imparts into your spirit when you make the decision to believe His Word. Amen. Now, fear is a spiritual force that works in the same arena with faith because what we know as fear was originally Adam's faith. When Adam fell, all of the spiritual forces in him were perverted and twisted and turned in the opposite direction. They still work in the same arena by the same rules, words. Faith became fear. Love became hate because he was spiritually no longer connected to God, who is life. He was now spiritually connected to a fallen angel who had no power of his own. So how then does faith come? By hearing. And the hearing comes from the Word of God. How then does fear come? Fear comes by hearing, and hearing by the lies of the devil. He'll tell it to you till you believe it. And once you believe it and start worrying about it, which is a manifestation of meditation on that lie, applying fear, until you begin to say it. Now you have released the spiritual force of fear that produces fruit from the law of sin and death. That's the reason it's so important to the devil to train people to express themselves in a moment of anger, in a moment of fear, anxiety, in a place where what is in your spirit, not just in your mind, but what is in your spirit will suddenly come out your mouth and you have no control over it. You just said it before you had a chance to even stop it. Huh? You know the situation I'm talking about? Where something happened to you and it scared you so bad and something just, you just screamed and something came out of your mouth. We have learned from studying cockpit voice recorders. What do you know, they call the black boxes. Actually, they're orange boxes, but they call them black boxes. Simply because they're in the class with electronics and avionics. And so all of the conversation in that cockpit is being recorded the whole trip. Every time something is spoken in there, it activates that cockpit recorder. Some of them on larger airplanes, that recorder runs all the time. It's not just voice activated. Well, it's amazing the things that the men in command said right before they crashed. Almost, not all, but almost all of them used God's name in vain and said something to the effect, we're going to die. Right at the moment, you didn't need to be saying that, but he had no control over it because it was in him in abundance. Can you hear me? First words are so vitally important because the first thing that comes out of your mouth will set either the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus into motion, or it'll set the law of sin and death into motion. And you ain't got time to repent unless you live through it. The Lord, many years ago, taught me this lesson in a vital way. I was in a meeting, and it was one of those three-week-long meetings that I was talking about earlier. And there was a woman came to me, and she said, Brother Copeland, I need to ask you something. You can help me. She said, my family, my husband, and my children, they had several children. She said, one night, there was a car ran a red light at an extremely high rate of speed. Hit us so hard, it broke our car in two. So it was a horrendous impact. She said, the children and I were all injured in some way. And she said, we were scattered out all over that highway and the area in between the two highways. She said, we were scattered out all over the place. She said, the only one that wasn't hurt was my husband. And she said, I was broken up really bad. And she said, one of the children's skull had been laid open. And she said, we were all hurt. He wasn't. But he died and none of us did. Now she said, I want to know why. I said, I don't know why. But I'll tell you what we can do. Let's you and I set ourselves in agreement according to the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew that Jesus said, any two of you shall agree on earth. I said, you and I are on earth, so we qualify here. Yeah. As touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. I said, let's agree that God will reveal to us before this meeting, these series of meetings are over, the answer to that question. She said, that's good. We prayed and we read those words of Jesus and we stood on them. And so I said, but now one thing about it, you're going to have to be in all the services. She said, Brother Copeland, I'll be here. Well, she was. She was there, morning service, night service, the whole time. Right as the meeting was coming to a close, several days before it was finished, 3 weeks had gone by, she came and she said, I got the answer. Now, we had talked about some of these very same laws. I said, tell me. She said, Brother Copeland, as I said, we were all injured but him. So he was going around checking on the children. She said, I was lying on the grass on the infield between that divided highway. And she said, I was lying there on my back. And she said, I knew I was broken up all over. Remember what I said about first words? Under pressure. You can say things under pressure that you don't even remember unless somebody tells you about it, because your mind wasn't even involved. It just came right straight out of your spirit and through your mouth. You were created by God to be that way. When things go rough and things go bad, I'm telling you, your mind will just step back out of the way and give your spirit room to move, because that's where the power is. And if the wrong stuff is in there, it'll bring the wrong stuff to pass. Because you picked that stuff off the tree of life and death. So, she said, I was lying there. She said, I knew I was broken up pretty bad. And she said, I was lying there praying in the spirit. And she said, I'd just pray a little while in tongues. And then I'd say, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'll live and not die. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Oh, Jesus, thank you for your healing power. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for saving the children. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, see what she was doing? He went by, she said, and checked on all the children. And he came around there to her where she's lying on the grass on her back. And he leaned over her, looked right in her eyes. And she said, Brother Copeland, he looked at me with wide eyes. And he said, I am a dead man. See, seeing his family like that and everything had put him over into shock. His mind wasn't even working. Because he's looking at something he doesn't have the power to do anything about. Now, she had some word in her. Amen. And it wasn't but a few days, he died. Well, I can also tell you from that wasn't the first time he said things like that. People that have no idea what these laws mean set in motion things that they do not want to come to pass. Well, I'll see y'all tomorrow if a train don't hit me before then. And if anybody laughs at it, he'll say it again for the next 5 years trying to get somebody else to laugh at his dumb joke. Ask me how I know. until I got born again. And got my mouth renewed along with my mind. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Satan has a very important agenda to get you to say what he desires to come to pass for his benefit. Because otherwise, he can't control you at all. He has no authority over you. He has no authority over what you do. He has no authority over what you say. Now go back to the example of Job. People have just so terribly misunderstood the book of Job. There was only one sin that Satan had accused Job before God. Satan said to God, "Does he serve you for nothing? You have blessed him. You have made him rich. You have blessed everything he has. Put your hand on his blessing. Take away what he has," in other words. "He will curse you to your face." That was the sin. Now, Job made a lot of mistakes. The mistakes came from not knowing, and that he corrected once God corrected it. And then he had some, quote, friends. Brother, with friends like that, you don't even need the devil. Amen. But now notice, Job began to think about cursing God. He began to be afraid his children were going to curse God. It got on his wife's mind so bad, she committed it. She's the one that opened the door for the devil to kill her children. You remember what she said? She said to him, "Why don't you curse God and die?" You remember his answer? "Woman, if he decided to kill me, I'd serve him." It wasn't God killing him. It was the devil. The devil tried to get God to do it. God wouldn't do it. Can you see what happened? See, Satan had to get it on their minds. So he was working at getting that thought into their mind. If he can capture your thought and capture your thought, if you're foolish enough to say what you're thinking, ha, he's got you. Particularly when you know better. What did David do? David understood these laws. He understood the blessing. He's the one that said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He said, "Lord, put a watch over my mouth." Do you remember what he said about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, where the devil can't touch you? Remember what he said? "I will say of the Lord, he's my God. He's my fortress. He's my buckler. And I trust him." That's all he said. And then God began to speak. And then you have the rest of the 91st Psalm. The only thing he said was, "I will say of the Lord." That's what put him in the secret place and made him untouchable, because he refused to say anything else. That's what it means to cleave to the Lord. Remember that? We just read that in Deuteronomy 39:19 and 20, to cleave unto him, for he is your life. How do you cleave unto him? You find out what he said and you hang on to it. I don't care what the devil does. I don't care what the weather does. I don't care what the government does. I don't care what the rest of the family does. I don't care what anything does. I don't care what my body thinks. I don't care what my bank thinks. I don't care. I only care about what he has said, and I'm cleaving to that. And if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in me, he makes alive my mortal flesh. Say that instead of, damn, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Come on, man. I'm so tired, I'm about to fall on my face. And besides that, my feet are just killing me. And then you relax enough to begin to add God's name to that. Now, why is it considered blasphemous and profane to use God's name and damn connected together? Why is that considered blasphemous and profane? Because God's not the dammer. He's the deliverer. That's using God's name in vain. Using the name of power in a useless, vain way. And you have called the dammer God. You know the old saying, well, you go to hell for lying the same as you will stealing. And other such world-renowned foolishness. You don't go to hell for lying or stealing. You don't go to hell for murder. You don't go to hell for adultery. You don't go to hell for committing any sin. I don't care how terrible it is. The only sin that will send any person to hell is to reject Jesus Christ of Nazareth as your Lord and Savior. He's already paid for all the sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Whew. Glory to God. I hope you've had as much fun listening to this as I have preaching it. Glory to God. Because it stirs me up on the inside. When these things begin to stir around in me, and that, particularly around people like you that pull on it and draw on it, When it begins to feed you, then I begin to see things in the Spirit. And I learn these things the same time you do. Yeah. Amen. I learn more out of it than anybody here. There's been times that I've said the same thing. I've been going along and say, now there's three things you need to know about what God said right there in His Word. And I thought, there are? And in my mind I'm thinking, I hope I know what they are. But out of my spirit would come number one, number two, and number three. And I thought, yeah, and I get back to the hotel, I'm going to write this down. I got to preach this next week when I get over there. Amen. Oh, folks, this is the kingdom of God in operation. God's not holding out on us. He's doing His best to get it in us, get it to us. Hallelujah. He's got an invested interest here. The life of Jesus. Ah, oh, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. Well, what about it? Did you get anything out of that tonight? Praise God. Life words. Speaking life. Let's close with this scripture and then we'll take up here tomorrow as the Lord directs and leads. Let's go back to the book of Proverbs. We were in chapter 15. Let's go to chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18, beginning with verse 20. A man's belly his innermost being shall be satisfied with the fruit. Now there's that reference again to the tree. Make the tree good and the fruit's good. You understand? That's what Jesus was referring to all the time. Think about the gifts of the Spirit. And think about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, kindness. Ooh, think about what fruit that is. There's not a bad one in there. There's not a dead one in there. There's not a cursy one in there. Oh, if you didn't do anything else, particularly in the learning years, just get the fruit of the Spirit in your mouth. Praise God. And then begin to read the description of love in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians and start confessing that, because that's who you are. You are born of love, and God is love, and love never fails. Hallelujah. Satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Now look. With the increase of his lips shall he be what? Filled. Made full. I have come that they might have life. And the literal text there, it is translated this way, particularly in the Amplified translations. Very interesting on John 10:10. I have come that they might have life, the King James says, and have it more abundantly. Somebody have the Amplified here close to me someplace? Amplified translation. May I borrow it, please? Ah, yeah, a good one. All marked up. Praise God. I like that. Now, hold your place, sir. I'm going to John 10:10. Amen. Okay, let's go over to the book of John. Six, seven, eight, nine, and ten. Amen. Now we've got the King James here and the Amplified here. Now, the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Thank you, my dear. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. Yes, it is a trick question. But when you answer it incorrectly, the Lord ain't going to hold it against you, okay? Does God give us things to meet our needs? Now, see, ain't nobody moved. But the first scripture that comes to mind, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, yeah, he gives me things then to meet my needs. No, no. The scripture says he gives us richly all things to enjoy. That's his purpose behind giving you things. They meet your needs, yes, but he didn't give them to you to meet your needs. He gave them to you to enjoy. Overflowing, enjoying life. Well, your needs just get swept up in the flow. Amen. That's the reason you don't need to be so need-minded. Oh, we really need some more business. Oh, we need some more money. Oh. We just read that increase comes from the increase of the lips. You don't need more money. You must increase words of life and blessing. The money will come. Hallelujah. Oh, a debt can't hold up under the pressure of you talking to it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm still closing, so, okay. Verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The word translated power, meaning authority, is the word, the Hebrew word, hand. It literally is like this. I delegate. Let me express it this way. Brother Mark, I'm turning this project over to you. I am delegating all authority over this particular project to you. Mark, I am putting this in your hands. Ah, that means I and my authority over whatever project this is, I have just delegated entirely to you. I have given over my authority and my say-so in this over to you. You now speak what I say. I've put it in your hands. My, it's quiet. John chapter 3, don't turn there. I'm just going to read this to you. Verse 35. The Father, verse 34, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loves the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Now this same God that has given all things into Jesus' hand has delegated all authority over death and life to the human tongue. Now wake up and stop killing yourself and your seed after you. Our children talk the way they do because they learned it at home. Aha! God has given us a peek into the glory. And it's right here. And then he blessed us by giving us the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's right here. And when we become God inside minded, he's right here all the time. And he has access to my tongue. And through my tongue, he has access to my mind and to my emotions. Hallelujah. And by his authority, I speak life.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, glory. If you need increase, begin to speak life. Not lack, life. Oh, hallelujah. You don't go around saying, oh, if we don't have more sales, we're going to go broke. If we don't have more of this, we're going to go under. Oh, we're going to go, oh, whoa, we're going, oh my. Shut up! The scripture says the tongue is a tree of life. And perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. It breaks the spiritual bond that you have with God and his word. The words of life. And you're speaking words of death.
Well, you know how it is. I mean, my daddy died of heart trouble. My granddaddy died of heart trouble. We've always, our men in our family always had heart trouble. And here I am, 48, and my blood pressure's through the roof. I guess I'll die just like my daddy.
And see, people talk about generational curses. It's generational talk. And the devil is living in that family and just stays there as long as somebody will say those words. He has scriptural authority to do it. Good friend of mine for years. Known one another since we were just young kids.
I was still in high school. He graduated a couple of years before I did. Still good friends. And
I saw him one day in a motorcycle shop that he and I both liked to go by there. And I rode over there. And he was in there and he was on the phone. I came in the door and he saw me and he said, come on. And there was a stool there next to him at the counter. And he said, sit down. I got something I want to tell you. And he's on the phone there. And a little bit he hung the phone up. He said, Kenneth, let me tell you something. He said, back when your mother first started her prayer groups. Now, my mother would start a prayer group, and it would get so big that the neighborhood where my dad and mother lived would have so many cars in it, you could hardly get down the street. And then after a few years, and she would just turn it over then to some young preacher, and they'd turn it into a church. Now, that happened several times. And he said, there was a friend of mine that took me over to your mother's prayer group, and he said, I went over there to get her to pray for me. Well, he said, people were leaving, and my friend took me up there to your mother and said, Miss Copeland, this man's Jimmy Hester, and he's having some problems with his heart, and we'd like for you to pray. And if you would, why would you please lay hands on him and pray for his healing? He said, Kenneth, your mama said, sit down there. He said, I sat down. She said, tell me the truth. Now, you have to know my mama. Cherokee Indian. An anointing of God had come on her, and she absolutely looked a whole plum through you. Amen. I mean, and that's, boy, when she got like that, she's dangerous. She looked at him. He's telling me this in this motorcycle shop. She said, tell me the truth about that. And Jimmy said, I said, my daddy died of heart trouble. My granddaddy died of heart trouble, and I've got high blood pressure now and a bad heart. She said, I told you to tell me the truth about that. He said, Kenneth, she made me mad. He said, here I am, a pastor of a church, and she's telling me to tell the truth. He said, lady, I just told you the truth. My daddy died of heart trouble. My granddaddy died of heart trouble. And I got heart trouble now. He said, Kenneth, she boxed my ears. He said, she slapped her hands on my head and grabbed me by the ears and shook my head. And she got right down in my faith. And she said, don't you know Isaiah 53? She said, don't you know that Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases? That's the truth about this. He said, now I found out later, she saw the spirit of death on me, and she said, and he said, she knew she only had minutes to get through to me before I was gone. He said, Kenneth, the power of God hit me. She's shaking my head back and forth. And he said, I began to tell the truth about this. And he said, it just stayed with me. That's the truth about this. And he said, my mama told me since I was a little boy. Now, all the Hester men die young with bad hearts, and you'll probably do the same. Well, he said that since he's a little boy. And here he was in his 40s, and he's about gone. Now, he said, the reason I wanted to tell you about this, Kenneth, he said, now listen, I just talked to my doctor. I just went through a thorough physical examination. He said, I just had my 60th birthday this week. I just got the report from my doctor. And the truth about this is, he said over the phone, I have the heart of a 16-year-old boy. Hallelujah. Whoa. Whoa. Amen. What turned it around? Words of life. Words of life. He outlived all of his kinfolks. What happened? He changed what would have been referred to as a generational curse. It was a generational confession that caused the curse. Amen. And I've preached long enough. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Stand up with me, please. Hallelujah. 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 Say it out loud. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I'm born again. I'm filled with God. God is in me now. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. I am loved. Oh, glory be to God. My words are words of life, blessing, peace, goodness, power, healing, deliverance, prosperity. I am a blessing because I'm blessed. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. God loves me. Watches over me. Goes with me. Never leaves me. Never forsakes me. He and I are together. Forever. Hallelujah. Ha ha ha. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody just got delivered and healed of arthritis and all of its symptoms and effect right as we were talking. Right as we were talking, praise God. Words of life. Words of life. Words of life. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, glory be to Jesus. We'll close by teaching you this. This is important to your own prayer time and your own life as an individual. It's one thing to do these things in a gathering like this because we have multiplied our faith by coming together. And in a meeting like this, these things come easy. But when you're under pressure, that's not the time to get weaker. That's the time to get stronger. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, say this. Say it boldly. Mean it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. All together now, boldly. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. All right? The Bible said that David praised God with every fiber of his being. He praised God until he praised himself out of his clothes and ran out into the street naked, praising and dancing before the Lord. It's startled and shook up his wife so bad. She said, "That is the most vulgar thing I have ever seen." You know what his answer was? "Woman, you ain't seen nothing. I am going to get more vulgar still." Or something like that. That's the Copeland translation, you understand? Base quote. Now we're going to say the same thing. "Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world." And you said it boldly a moment ago. It was good. But this time, we are going to shout it with every fiber of our being. And then, we're going to check our spirit man and see what has increased on the inside. Remember, increase comes from the increase of the lips, and the innermost being is satisfied. Are you ready? Yes. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." Have to check. Can you see what happened? Now, do you understand Jesus saying with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth"?
Yes.
Take that information to heart. Put it in the secret place of the Most High God. And the next time Satan thinks he's got you cornered, the next time he's begun to put pressure on you and on your life and your family and on your finances, on your physical being, or on your mind, I'm telling you, you go somewhere, you get in your car, you go back in that back room, I'm telling you, you lock yourself up in the supply room where you work, and I'm telling you, and it won't take a whole lot of words, because it'll all come out of there at one time. And it'll change things right in front of your own very eyes. It's time to give God praise and thanksgiving. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Amen.
Then sings God.